Luke chapter 2. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Important announcements come and go, and we hear about them. We think, wow, this is earth-shattering, this is big, and then we forget about it pretty quickly. But born a Savior, stop and think about that. The eternal Word, that's how the Bible refers to Jesus Christ, the eternal Word has now become a speechless babe. The infinite God that created everything now becomes the incarnate babe. We live in a media-driven, information-saturated age, and we are connected electronically to everything that goes on in the world. We receive a flood of information. There is a tsunami of information that washes over us, really, every day, certainly every week, but then it fades away about as quickly as it came to us. But the echo of this announcement 2,000 years ago is still reverberating throughout the world today. Born a Savior. So while these shepherds were watching their flocks, they heard this announcement, and that announcement set shockwaves, not just throughout that world, but is still sending shockwaves throughout the world. Really, that announcement inspires the carols that we sing today, the presents that we exchange today, the preaching of the gospel that goes on today, all came about as a result of that announcement that day. I want to draw your attention to those verses and just draw three ideas out of why this announcement was an unparalleled announcement, why it was so important. The announcement of the Savior's birth was unequaled because of its intent. Because of its intent. Look at verse 10, the first half. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." What was the intent there? He tells us, good tidings, great joy. There's no way that I or anyone else could overemphasize the fact that Jesus' coming to the earth was great news. That's why the gospel is called the good news. It is great news. It's unparalleled good news. Because of sin, our world was in a bad place. Because of sin, our world was broken. That's true of all the realms in the world. In the natural realm, there's earthquakes and there's tsunamis and there's volcanoes and there's fires, and there are all kinds of things taking place in the natural realm as a result of sin. In the animal kingdom, the lion chases down the zebra and tears it up and eats it, and the animals cry out because there's sin that has wreaked havoc in the animal kingdom, and we really see it amongst mankind. We really see the results of sin. So when the angel announced born a Savior, it was really, really good news. The angels proclaimed to us as well as to them that Jesus has come to save us. He's come to fix us. He's come to redeem us. He's come to rescue us. That's good news. It's really good news. And He can save us, redeem us, rescue us, and He will if you will allow Him. Some of the angels, you stop and think about it. Now, the Bible tells us there is a myriad number of angels. In other places, it's 10,000 times 10,000. It's in the billions of angels. Very possibly, some of the angels that were in the sky above Bethlehem, where, by the way, David, the great king of Israel, used to keep sheep in that same area. While those shepherds were keeping their sheep and the angels appeared in the sky, maybe some of those angels were the angels that God sent to the Garden of Eden, and they had the sword, and it kept mankind from ever entering into the Garden of Eden again until God disposed of it. Maybe some of those angels were sent on another judgment errand where they blinded the sodomites because they groped to find those that had come into the city, and they wanted to abuse them, and God blinded them through the angels so they could not find their way home. Maybe some of those angels were sent in a judgment errand by God and killed all the firstborn of Egypt in that final plague that finally caused Pharaoh to release the Israelites. All of those previous errands that they had been sent on were judgment errands. But now, I'm sure they were so excited that they were bringing good news to mankind. You can imagine every day them almost asking God, is today the day that we get to bear the good news? Is today the day? And finally that day arrived, and they brought the good news. The intent of the gospel is that glad tidings, great joy, a Savior is born, is what the Bible tells us. An unparalleled announcement. Second, not only is this announcement of the Savior's birth unequaled because of its intent, it's unequaled because of its extent, how far it reaches. Look at the next part of verse 10. He says, the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Not just to the Jewish people. Not just to the people of the Middle East. Not just to people in the future who would be born in America or come to America. But this is good news for all people. It's an unqualified, unparalleled announcement of good news to everyone who would ever be born, wherever they lived, which will be to all people. All means all. That means lowly shepherds who were so unclean they couldn't enter into the temple worship, to the Magi who had come from another country. That meant it was good news for the aged widow Anna, as well as to the youthful virgin Mary, who needed a Savior, by the way. It was good news. It was news, good news for the silent carpenter we know as Joseph, as well as the suspicious and wicked king Herod. It was all good news. Matter of fact, it puts all those people in the same class. They were all made equal by this unparalleled announcement because they all need a Savior. All men need a Savior because we're all sinners. So it's unparalleled good news because of its extent. And how sad it is that today, some 2,000 years later, after the angels appeared in the sky and declared this good news, that there are millions of people who have never heard the name of Jesus, who have never come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. I fell into that category until I was my second year in college. I'd heard the name of Jesus, but I certainly didn't have a personal relationship with him. There are millions and billions of people who do not know him. It's unequaled because of its extent. The good news of Jesus Christ, that he came to save man from his sin and give him eternal life in heaven, is news that all of us should be excited about proclaiming to a needy world. So it's unequaled because of its intent, it's good news. It's unequaled because of its extent, it's to all people. And third and finally, it's good news and unequaled because of its content. Look at verse 11 with me. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's Israel's promised son. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, a miraculous sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. God didn't just send someone on an errand. He came himself, Emmanuel, God with us, God living with us. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, we all know it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So it is unparalleled good news that to you a Savior is born, because God was fulfilling his promise to the Israelite, but he was fulfilling his promise to all the world that he would redeem us from our corruption. He would save us from our sin. He would provide for us a way of eternal life that we could never get on our own. Soon here, in a couple of weeks, a glowing crystal ball will fall in Times Square in New York City. An entertainer or a newscaster or someone will announce that we just entered into a new year as we count it down. And there will be shouts of joy, there will be laughter, there will be celebration that carries into the wee hours of the morning. That much anticipated announcement, and by the way, it doesn't just take place in New York, it takes place in all the major cities all the way around the world as the clock strikes 12 and rolls into the new year of 2018. That much anticipated announcement will quickly fade, and we get back into the habit, into the drudgery sometimes, into the process of going through a new year. That announcement quickly fades from our mind. But one announcement will never be forgotten through time and through eternity. To you, a Savior is born, the angel said. And that message is still being proclaimed. It never gets old. To you, a Savior is born. Matter of fact, it will be sung, that carol will be sung in the courts of heaven throughout eternity. A Savior was born to redeem mankind. That's really the good news of Christmas. The good news of Christmas is that Jesus left his ensconced throne in heaven, volunteered for the job to come to earth, to die on a cross eventually, to save man from their sin. That's the good news of Christmas. It started there in Bethlehem, but it ends at Golgotha. It ends at Calvary. So my question to you this morning is, do you know Jesus? Not so much the babe in the manger. We're all familiar with that scene that is played out at this time of the year. But do you personally know Christ as your Savior? Have you experienced the good news firsthand? If not, I encourage you to stop right today, in your seat today, and say, God, I've always heard the story of Jesus, but I want to know the Savior, Jesus. I invite you to come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and become Lord of my life, and I'll do it now. Would you bow your head with me as we close in prayer here? Let me just encourage you. Someone may have invited you to our service today. You may have just driven by our church in the past and realize I want to check out church here at Christmas time. And you came to our children's program and had a little wrap-up challenge at the end. But if you don't know Christ as Savior, you can become born again today, the Bible says. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. Calling is simply crying out from your heart, saying, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. I deserve punishment. But that's not what I want. I recognize that you've provided a way through Jesus Christ for me to be saved. And even though I don't understand it all at this moment, I understand he died for me, and today I would take him as my Savior. You could just pray those words silently before the Lord today and be saved. If you're not sure, settle it now, would you? Father, as we pause, many of us, probably most of us, have come to that crossroads in our life where we were confronted with the gospel. confronted with our need for a Savior, we came to realize that we were unprepared for eternity, and we couldn't atone for our sins with our good works, with our religious acts, or with our philanthropy, or anything else. We realize that the payment has already been made through Jesus Christ, and we accepted you. If there are individuals that need to do that today, Holy Spirit, draw them. Holy Spirit, prompt them. And may they pray from their heart and accept you as Savior. And Father, may all of us who know you live for you. We know we're in the midst of a busy season. May we contemplate, may we worship, may we exalt you as we have every opportunity to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand together briefly with me here? We're going to sing just a stanza of song. It just kind of cements for us what we've talked about here this morning. We're going to sing, "There is a Redeemer," and there is. We've talked about him this morning. That's what we sing about. And you can pray right in your seat and say, "Oh God, I've been confronted with the truth, and I know it's true, and it resonates in my heart and in my mind. And today I pray from my heart and accept you as my Savior." As we sing, maybe you need to pray. If not, you sing along with us as we sing here this morning.